The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I invite my young friends forward for the children's message. Call them all kids.
A lot of kids in first service today. How's everybody doing today? Good, good, good. All right, I'm going to tell you a word. I wonder if you've ever heard this word before. All right. Have you ever heard the word abundance? Have you heard that word? Abundance. Have you heard that word before? Abundance? That's a big word, isn't it? You ever heard it? Okay. All right. Well, abundance, if you really want to hear the definition, you know what it means? It means so much, so much, so much. Abundance means having a lot, having more than we need, having more than we can imagine sometimes. It's just a lot. It's so much. So when you look at your table at Thanksgiving, is there more food than you can ever eat? Yeah, that's abundance. Or when you look out and you see more flowers in a field than you could ever pick, that's abundance. Or when you see people in church from all the places that fill the pews, that's abundance. Abundance just means so much. Well, all 3 of the stories that we heard today, the one that Pastor Lori read and the 2 that Miss Annette read, were all stories of abundance. And God just shares so much, so much, so much. God has so much to share with us. Does God give us the food we eat? Yeah. And our friends? Yeah, and everything we have, but the thing that God gives us most is God's love. And God's love is shared with us through Jesus, who came into the world to tell us that. and then to do miracles like the one that Pastor Lori just read about, so that we can know all about abundance. All right, I have a challenge for you this week. Are you ready? This is your abundance challenge. You don't have to pour ice on your head or do the floss or anything else. All that you have to do in the abundance challenge is to look for places this week where you see so much to be thankful for. And when you see those things, we'll just know all the ways that God is at work. You ready? Yeah? Battle one already? All right. Oh, just the abundance of lights and windows? Yeah? What do you think? Yeah? Okay, well, remember all these and bring back answers to me. You can bring them to me this week and share with me how we see God's abundance, especially through God's love. And God is always going to have that for us, no matter what. So much, so much, so much. Yeah, all right. So let's say our prayer together. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
And your abundant love.
And your abundant love.
Help us to see.
Help us to see.
That you share so much.
That you share so much.
And that we can share with others.
And that we can share with others.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for coming up. And go back to your seats.
Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, feed us through your word. May we recognize your presence, your power, and your provision for us this day and in the days ahead. Amen. Anyone who has ever planned a dinner party knows the immense amount of planning and preparation it takes to serve just a few family and friends. We plan, we buy, we prepare, and then the guests arrive to share in the fruits of our labor. But think with me for a moment. What would it take to feed a dinner party of 5,000? What about 15,000? How long would it take for you to prepare for such a task? What kind of budget would you need? At the heart of our scriptures today, Elisha's servant is focused on how to feed 100 people during a time of famine, and the disciples are focused on the challenge of how to provide a meal for thousands on short notice with a budget of only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Would you be up for the challenge? I find both texts fascinating. Elisha fed 100 men on 20 barley loaves amidst the skepticism of his servant, who did not think it was possible, yet there was plenty left over. And then in the New Testament, the Apostle John tells the familiar story about loaves and fishes and how Jesus takes a little and blesses it and distributes it to a crowd of people that most scholars believe numbered well over 5,000. As the scripture tells us, this story begins near the time of Passover, with Jesus and his disciples attempting to pull away from a busy day of ministry to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, to a mountainside where they are hoping to get some desperately needed peace and quiet. If we were to read this same story in the Gospel of Mark, he tells us that the disciples had been busy that day and had not taken time to eat. Jesus knew just what the disciples needed and invited them to go with him to a deserted place so that they would get rest. Although we know this story as the feeding of the 5,000, that only takes into account the men. It does not include the women and the children that were traveling with them, possibly swelling the numbers to as many as 15,000 people. Now, I think we would agree that 15,000 is a large number of people. But to give you a mental picture, consider that the Joel Coliseum, according to the internet, seats 14,665 people. So imagine you are at a Wake, Carolina basketball game, standing in the center of the court with Jesus and the other disciples as all the folks in the Coliseum are coming toward you with desperation in their eyes. And as they do, Jesus turns to you and says, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" That's exactly what he asked Philip. From a practical standpoint, it was a fair question. After all, Philip was from the area, so he would have been acquainted with the resources that might be available, just as each of us would be acquainted with the resources here in Winston-Salem. But in our imaginary example, access to food and drink would be as scarce as it would have been on that mountainside near the Sea of Galilee. As people of faith, we know that when Jesus asks a question, it is not for his own edification. He knows the answer. Jesus is actually seizing a teachable moment for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. What would your response be if you had 15,000 desperate people coming towards you? Would you be able to remember Jesus' miracles? The disciples had been with Jesus for quite some time now. When they were under pressure, why couldn't they remember his miracles? I would guess that hunger and fatigue can make our memories fade very quickly. Did they really know Jesus' true identity more than just on an intellectual level? Did they really believe in the provisions of God? We might not think so by their responses. The challenge of seeing the bigger picture is what Philip and the other disciples faced. Philip answered, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to even have a little." We can almost hear the frustration, maybe even the helplessness in Philip's voice. Philip was tired and generally not interested in thinking about how to minister to this throng of people. In fact, if we were to read this story from the other three Gospels, we would learn that the disciples wanted to send the people away and let them find something to eat on their own. Jesus, on the other hand, was moved with compassion to provide physical as well as spiritual nourishment for them. Let's again put this in today's perspective. How much food would 6 months of your wages buy? For some, it may be a sizable portion, but for many, it wouldn't be sufficient. And for Scythe County, the median household income is a little over $42,000. So 6 months' wages, $21,000, yes, is a lot of money, but not when you are trying to immediately feed 15,000 hungry souls. If you do the math, that's just $1.40 per person. And when was the last time you ate a filling meal for $1.40? Jesus asked where. Philip could only think of how. Philip failed to remember that he had seen Jesus, the very Son of God, turn water into wine, make the blind to see, the lame to walk, the hemorrhaging stop. But in that moment, Philip failed to recall that with Jesus, all things are possible. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, tries to offer a solution. There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people? Andrew speaks with the same frustration as Philip. Through their fatigue and hunger, neither Philip nor Andrew have enough faith to know that Jesus would provide. One commentator described the situation this way: Philip calls our attention to the enormity of the situation, and Andrew to the meagerness of the resources. Now here's where the story gets really interesting. This encounter was taking place in an area where it is unusual for there to be grass. And the scripture said that there was a great deal of grass. Wonder, did anyone there recognize the uniqueness of their surroundings? In God's loving way, and before anyone even realizes that a miracle is happening, God has already provided for their comfort. Then Jesus tells the disciples, "Make the people sit down." Sitting down creates an atmosphere of anticipation. Can you imagine the puzzled looks, the shrugged shoulders, maybe even a few eyes rolling as the disciples make their way among the crowd, asking them to be seated? I know how long it takes to get 100 folks seated at a picnic. I wonder how long it took to get over 15,000 people seated. Yet, somehow, the disciples accomplished what was asked of them. Then comes the next part of the miracle. We are told that Jesus takes the young child's offering of loaves and fishes, and after giving thanks, he and the disciples distribute them to the crowd. I wonder, did everyone watch silently? Did they all bow their heads, and did everyone close their eyes as Jesus offered thanks? Imagine the murmur of 15,000 people as the bread and fish were given out. And what about these disciples? Has it dawned on them that they were now participating in one of Jesus' miracles? Up to this point in Jesus' ministry, he had performed miracles on his own. And that very day, the disciples were actually participating with Jesus in his ministry. But the miracle is not complete. For scripture says that after everyone had eaten and was satisfied, Jesus spoke again. "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." In obedience, Philip, Andrew, and the rest of the disciples did as they were told and carried away, we know, 12 baskets filled with a tangible reminder that a little can go a very long way, that what they started with was small compared to what was left over when Jesus did his work. I love the way Lloyd John Ogilvie says it, and he wrote, "For it is in the mystery of the blessing the small becomes great." How many of us have had the experience of doing nothing because we felt that what we could offer was insufficient, inadequate. How many of us have let our personal circumstances of an overcrowded daytimer or not knowing exactly what to say or do for someone in need, or allow our diminishing financial portfolios dictate what we can and cannot do. Yet, as this miracle unfolds and demonstrates, Jesus used what the young boy offered to accomplish one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Gospels. I believe this story teaches us that regardless of our age, our resources, or our circumstances, when we offer nothing, God will have nothing from us to use. But when each of us offers what we have, no matter how great or how small, then God can take it and bless it and multiply it into something well beyond anything that we could ever imagine, because it is in the mystery of the blessing the small becomes great. When God places an enormous challenge before us as individuals or as a church, it is sometimes difficult to remember that no task is too great for God. It is easy to lose sight of the greater picture, just as Philip did when he focused on the enormousness of the task and responded with the practicalities of life. Andrew, too, lost sight of the greater picture and focused on the meagerness of what was available to offer. The story of how to accomplish a huge challenge on a meager budget is no less preposterous today than it was in antiquity. In every time, in every place, people are called to reach beyond their common sense measurements of the world. Like the disciples, we are given opportunities to be part of God's abundant blessings. We might think we have nothing to offer, but we would be wrong. We all have something to offer. This story teaches us that when God asks us, "Where will you go to buy bread?" that we should go directly to the one who calls himself the bread of life. Our tendency is to look at what is humanly possible, to be limited by our own resources, not the limitless resources of God, because we've assumed that we know what is and is not possible. I believe that our greater need is to draw on the presence, the power, and the provision of God. If we turn toward God and offer the loaves that we have, that we know as our time, our talent, as well as our resources, God can take us and bless us and multiply our efforts, using them for God's kingdom and God's glory here on earth. Amen.